Gospel of Luke chapter 11 verse 28. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. There shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah, the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, is full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. God will bless us the reading of his precious word, that which you've heard already this evening. I want you to notice especially with me, please, verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Now there's something. You know, we have secret places in our lives. We have things that we put in secret places. Sometimes we can't remember where we put them. But we put things away in secret places. And you know, some people have secret places for their pleasure. Some people have secret places for their gain. But you know, not one of us in this building tonight has a secret place to put a light. Because a light is never put in a secret place. Isn't that elementary? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. No man, when he lights a candle, puts it in a secret place. He doesn't tuck it in a closet. He doesn't take it to the cellar and shut the door behind it. No, that's not the purpose of a light. A light is to be put into a place where they that coming may see. Friends, tonight, if we would not put a light in a secret place, you can be sure of this. Our God is no different. Our God has not put the light in a secret place. In other words, if you're in this gospel meeting tonight and you're not saved, remember this. The light is not in a secret place. You can be saved, and you can be saved tonight. You can look away from self. You can look to the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up to suffer, bleed, and die, that he might put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. Maybe you've wandered on in your darkness for years now. Maybe you're a teenager. Maybe you're in your 20s or 30s or even older tonight, and you've gone on in your darkness. My friend, tonight, would you love to see the light of life? When you see the light of life, why, you'll see yourself. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. I'm condemned. I'm unclean. Those things I saw, but where did I see them? It wasn't till I was brought to the cross to see that the glorious Son of God was lifted up. And as I gazed upon him, he seemed to charge me with his death. As near his cross I stood, though not a word he spake. And as I gazed at the crucified one, he said, I freely all forgive. My friends, that's why he was there. Why was he there? as the bearer of sin. If on Jesus my guilt was not laid. Ah, friends in the meeting tonight, you're a sinful man. You're a sinful woman. And I know it. We've been hearing about the eye tonight. And that's what I read about. If thine eye be evil, the whole body is full of darkness. What kind of an eye have you got? Remember, an evil eye. Covetousness, the eye covets. I look and I covet, says Achan, and I took. The evil eye brought sin into his life of covetousness. The apostle Paul said, I had not known sin, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Do you have an evil eye in the meeting tonight? Have you coveted something that belongs to another? Evil eye? The whole body. The whole body is in darkness because of an evil eye. An evil look. Put your whole body in darkness. My friend, tonight, that darkness is one thing in this life. It's called something else in the next life. The blackness of darkness forever. But the gospel we preach is to call man out of darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. You know, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ taught in the Sermon on the Mount that you don't have to go out and sin as to the outward act. You say, I'm not an immoral man. I'm not a murderer. I wouldn't commit murder. And I wouldn't steal. Covetousness says you don't have to steal. You just need to look. You just need to look. And the whole body's in darkness. And the Lord Jesus said, you don't need to commit adultery to be an adulterer. Just the look of the eye. And you've already committed adultery in the heart. One day in the United States, I was having coffee break with an editor of a newspaper. Well, he liked the things that I spoke about in the way of salvation. He appreciated those things, but he wasn't that bad a man after all, you know. That was his conclusion. He left the coffee shop, started walking down the street. You know, he got taken up with a girl that didn't have too many clothes on. He says, see, I see what you mean, he says. I see what you mean. The eye, if the eye be evil, the whole body is in darkness. My friends, tonight, there's none of us escape it. The eye is evil because I was born in sin and shapen iniquity in sin. Did my mother conceive me? That could be said of every one of us. And we go astray as soon as we're born. Speaking lies. Oh, friends, tonight, you're in darkness tonight. And how great is that darkness? Bartimaeus was a blind man. He sat on the highway side begging. And the people begged him, hold your peace. You're not that bad. You know what? He knew better. He knew how bad he was. In other words, he knew how great the darkness was. And he cried the more. Oh, if there might be one in the meeting tonight, and you realize that you're a sinful man, a sinful woman, in darkness tonight. Oh, that you might get to Christ tonight. And your soul be saved before it's forever too late. Oh, that it might be so. No man. When he had lighted a candle, puts it in a secret place. You know, we're living in an evil day. The evil eye, an evil day. Remember last night? The evil fruit in your life. The evil deeds in your life. Corrupt seed, corrupt man, evil deeds. Ah, but friend, we're living in an evil generation. But you know what the Lord Jesus said? This is an evil generation. The day that he lived in, he said, this is an evil generation. But he said, you know, the men of Nineveh are going to rise up in judgment against this generation. The men of the days of the Queen of Sheba are going to rise up in judgment against this generation. In this gathering tonight, friends, the light of the glorious gospel is not hid. You say, well, that's sure hid to me. I can't seem to get it. You know what? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. The god of this world, that's the devil, hath blinded the mind of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. The gospel is not, the death of Christ was not done in a corner. But the devil loves to blind the minds of them that believe not and try to tell you you're all right. That message isn't for you. That's for someone else. My friends, tonight, it's an evil generation. All right. In the days of the Queen of Sheba, there was a man called Solomon, a wise man. Where was he? Was he hid away in a dark place somewhere? Well, I'll tell you, that wise man was sought out by a woman, and that woman was a queen. And that woman sought this wise man, and you know she went about 1,200 miles to find Solomon because of the wisdom of Solomon. And she wanted to hear the wisdom of Solomon. You know, she found him. You know why? Because Solomon wasn't hid. In other words, you can find the way of life, the way of salvation, if you really want it. And you'll never get saved unless you do want it. For the Bible says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Do you want salvation in that way? Do you want to say, I don't want the pleasures of the world any longer? I'm not interested in the fame and the prosperity that may be offered to me. I want to see my sin forgiven and my soul saved. And I want to be in heaven when this life is over. Oh, that you'd lay aside every other ambition and seek to know your sins forgiven, even tonight, by the earnestness of this creed. Think of the busy life that she would have. Think of the wealth that she had. And that seemed to have no interest in her at this time. And she lays aside those thoughts of her busyness and her wealth and her fame. And like a stranger, she starts out to visit a man she didn't know. And she seeks that man till she finds him. And that man wasn't his. You know why? Because Solomon was a wise man. He's the light of wisdom. He's the light of wisdom. And this Queen of Sheba found him. You know what? He didn't come alone. Ah, you say, how do you know that? I know that queens don't travel across the country like that alone. I can see all her company going with her and traveling together to seek out King Solomon. You're in this meeting tonight. Likely you didn't come alone. Maybe a friend brought you and they've got a burden for your soul. Maybe you're here with your family tonight and they desire to see you saved. You know what? As much as the Queen of Sheba, she didn't come alone. But she came as an individual. You're going to have God's salvation. If you're going to be in heaven when this life is over, my friend, you must come to Christ as an individual that you might be saved. Solomon was a light of wisdom, but a greater than Solomon is here. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed Son of God. He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He's the one that's unknown, and he's despised. And rejected a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. A greater than Solomon? Yes. Solomon had great wisdom. None like him in all the earth. But the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than Solomon. For he has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everyone that's saved tonight, they've got the wisdom of God because they have Christ. Who is wisdom? The wisdom from above. Pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated, without partiality. Our friends, tonight, do you have Christ? Is he yours tonight? Or are you still in your sin, wandering on in your darkness? Oh, that you might, as it were, like the Queen of Sheba, steer a straight course and care for nothing else. Abide the way until you're brought to the only one that's able to save, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. You know, men of that day are going to rise up in judgment. It's because of the Queen of Sheba. The diligence and the zeal she had and the earnestness. And here you are, sitting in a gospel meeting and rejecting the message of grace. This woman, she came and she heard. Oh, that you might come to Christ tonight and hear words whereby you might be saved. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, as everlasting, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That salvation can be yours tonight. Come believing. Come to Jesus. Look, and thou shalt live.
Nineveh are going to rise up in judgment against this generation.
The men of Nineveh, that wicked city. Yes, that wicked city, because the men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. You know, when Jonah went out into the streets of Nineveh, he didn't hide himself in a corner. He didn't get into some high room away off where nobody could hear him. He went out into the streets of Nineveh and around about the streets. And he shouted and preached, Nineveh shall be destroyed
for 40 days.
40 days! Nineveh will be overthrown. Why is that going to take place?
Friends, Nineveh is going to be overthrown because
sin. God is a pure eyes unto the old iniquity. And he cannot look upon sin. Our God is a righteous God. A holy God. A loving God. But he's a God of judgment. And Nineveh sworn that God is going to judge this city. It's going to be overthrown in 40 days. And Jonah faithfully preached. And in that city, Jonah was a light like a light going about that city as he preached. What did he preach? He preached judgment. Judgment is coming. Some would say don't preach judgment. Jonah preached it. You know what happened? When Jonah preached judgment, people repented. Ah, thank God for people that preach judgment and warn me to flee from the wrath to come. Friends, tonight, we must be faithful. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? Jonah warned the people, 40 days, overthrown. He was the light of judgment who warned the people aright. You know what happened? Things changed in that city. The men of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. The king lays off his garments and he puts on sackcloth and ashes and repents. And God repented himself of the evil of overthrowing that city. And it wasn't overthrown. After all, God saw the change in the attitude and the disposition and the way of these people. And God saved them. God delivered them. My friend in the meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of judgment. For this is the condemnation. For this is the judgment. That light is come into the world.
But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil.
You won't repent at the preaching, but the men of Nineveh did. Those men in a future day will rise up in judgment against you. Oh, my friends in the meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and in him was life, and he had power to give that life to whomsoever he would, the life of God, spiritual life, and everlasting life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shined in darkness. That's where I sat, a light shining in darkness. I sat in darkness and in the shadow of death.
You know what? The darkness comprehended it. It couldn't overtake it. Couldn't overpower it.
Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In this gathering tonight, oh friends, tonight, this world is ripening for judgment, for God has declared in his word that he has appointed a day in the which he'll judge the world in righteousness by that man who met your age whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and he hath raised him from the dead. In Matthew 12, where the Lord, they sought a sign, the Lord Jesus Christ said, as soon as it was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. God has raised him from the dead. You can be sure of that. That's a reminder and faithfully that God is going to judge this world in righteousness. When Paul spoke to Felix, he warned that man of judgment to come. You know, from the time I was a very small boy, I lived in the fear of death. Everything back of our home was a cemetery before I went to school. Everything back of that house was a graveyard. And I knew what that was all about. And I was told by my mother, after this, after death, the judgment. And I feared to meet God in my sin. And I knew that he had all my sin. And knew all about my sin. And I lived in fear and dread of the judgment day. When I would stand before God and I had nothing to say, my mouth would be closed. But tonight, friends, in this meeting, I'm not looking to a judgment day. I look back to the day of judgment when God laid upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. The wrath of God lay hard upon his Son. And with his stripes, I am healed. I've been delivered from the wrath to come. Oh, friends, tonight, what do you think of the people of Nineveh? They saw the light of judgment, and they repented. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ said? He said, accept you, repent. You shall all likewise perish. And there's no exception. I was no exception. You're no exception. You may be kind, amiable, faithful, loyal, upright, a praying man, a reader of the Bible, and all the rest. But the Lord Jesus makes no exception. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Why not tonight turn from your darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God? That's what it is. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Oh, that it might be so tonight. My friends in the gathering tonight, a light is not put in a secret place, but on a candlestick. But on a candlestick, that they that come may see. The Lord Jesus Christ was a lowly Nazarene. He was a man of sorrow, a despised and rejected man. They called him names and turned him aside as nothing and raised him up upon a cross between two malefactors. They really didn't know what they were doing. For the Lord Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. You know what they were doing? They were putting a light on a candlestick. And that's where the light belongs, my friend. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could say, I am the light of the world. And you don't put a light at your feet. You don't put a light at your feet or in a closet. The lights are up high. And lifted up was he to die. Friends, tonight, upon Golgotha Street, the blessed Son of God was lifted up for me. Ah, oh, thank God for the crucified one. Ah, you know, it was the goodness of God in my life that brought me to repentance. You say, what's that? I just didn't seem to understand anything about the goodness of God. I was so taken up with my sin and the judgment had come and living in the fear of death. But when Christ is brought before me as the one that suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. You know what it was? The goodness of God. I could see the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. And it just seemed to wrap around me as I could see. It brought me to repentance. The goodness of God. Is there one in our gathering tonight and you'd love to be embraced by the Father? The prodigal son. Are you that bad? Ah, surely we're all that bad. But you know what? The Father is no different. You know, Father saw him a great way off. And he had compassion on him. That's the kind of Father I have. He's the God of heaven. He has compassion on him. And he ran. And he fell on his neck. And he kissed him. Oh, friends, tonight, that's the way you'd be welcomed tonight. By God, if you receive this Son, oh, turn tonight from your wicked way and be saved. Christ has lifted up this that the devil Christ has not done in the corner. It wasn't something that was hid. When Peter preached in Acts 2, he said to the people, he charged them with murder. He said, you're taken out of the hands. And they're crucified and slain. And they said, when you fulfilled all that's written of him, they took him down from the cross. Our friends, tonight, is it nothing to you? All you that pass by, and see if there be any sorrow, like unto my sorrow, when the Lord hath afflicted me. In the day of his fierce anger. Ask yourself the question tonight. What does the death of Christ mean to you tonight? You know the death of Christ confirmed to my soul, if it needed any confirming at all, that there was wrath to come. Some people don't want to believe in wrath. They don't want to believe in the hell that we've been hearing about tonight. But it's ever so real. And the Lord Jesus Christ is ever so faithful as the light to bring before us that seed and to speak to us so often about the hell where the fire never shall be quenched. Confirming the wrath of God to my soul was to look at the crucified one and see the loneliness of the Son of God in the hours of darkness upon Golgotha Street, sinking in deep fire where there was no standing, where the floods overflow him. My friends in the gathering tonight, why did all this take place? To deliver my soul from hell and the wrath to come and to fit me for heaven. Oh, friends, tonight, oh, that my Savior, for your Savior too, he can be yours tonight. Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me. This salvation's only a look away. Look unto me and be saved all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Sometimes, you know, on those prairies, I've really been lost. I've been lost and I won't go and get any help. Sometimes I've been standing at midnight on a dark night, 40 below. I remember getting out of my car between Esterhazy and Yorkton in Saskatchewan, midnight. 40 below, the car broke down. Got out of that car, I'm going to head for the farmhouse. I saw a light in the distance. And I know that's the place I've got to head for, where that light is. Friend, that's the place you have to head for, is where the light is. Where is the light? It's on the candlestick. It's Christ being lifted up upon the cross. All around me was darkness. All about me was cold. And this world is a cold place. And darkness in the place. I'll head for the light. That light means safety. That night means rest. For the night. That's where I'm going for. Oh, friends, tonight, I didn't go. I got back in the car and said, too tired. I won't make it. I won't make it. There may be a dog there and I'll never get to the door. They'll never know I'm here. I got back in the car. You know what? In a few moments, or a few minutes, a car came with the lights and it kept coming. And they came right to where I was. Those lights came right to where I was. And I was picked up that night and taken back to the hotel for the night. What a rescue that was. But I'll tell you, friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, left the glories of heaven and down from the glory the Savior came. Down to the cross and death of shame. Gazing in wonder, I there exclaimed, Jesus died for me. It wasn't a case of me reaching heaven. He came and he reached me. And I'll tell you, if he could reach me, he could reach you tonight. Do you want him? Oh, that you might. Oh, that you might desire to know him. Whom to know is life eternal. May God bless his word. Let us pray.